The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Renault and Steve Nicholls. Oops. There's only one place to start today's programme. That is, of course, at Anfield, where it finished. Liverpool 1, Tottenham 1. It would be Son who opened the scoring for the visitors. Diaz will get one back with 15 minutes to go, but Liverpool couldn't find the winner, which, of course, has huge significance when it comes to the title race. That point does actually put them top of the table above Manchester City on goal difference. City, of course, in action on Sunday against Newcastle. For more on this, then, let's welcome in, shall we, Don Hutchinson and Pablo Zabaleta. But forgive me, boys, because I want to start with Stevie. How you feeling?
A little down. I thought there was always a possibility that in one of the remaining games something would go wrong. I didn't think it would be this game because it was against so-called one of the top sides.
Right.
So I'm a little surprised, to be honest, considering the amount of ball Liverpool had as well. You got to say, unfortunately for them, one of those days, and it just came at the wrong time against the wrong team. Because credit Spurs, men behind the ball, block shots, you name it. Keeper had a couple of decent saves.
Yeah.
But overall, disappointing. And hey, one of those days.
Is that it?
No. No, because the same thing can happen to Manchester City. Manchester City can draw.
Mm-hmm.
They still can't lose,
right?
In my opinion, because I think at the end of the day, I think Liverpool's going to score goals between now and the end of the season. So I'm confident that if City do lose, Liverpool can win on goal difference. So no, it's not done.
It's a huge week, isn't it? You take a look at the fact that City have got Newcastle on Sunday, and then midweek, City take on Wolves away at Molineux, Liverpool away at Villa Park, of course, as well. Don, is it over?
No, I don't think it's over. I've got a sneaky feeling that West Ham might be a problem. I was on commentary for Chelsea Wolves today, and don't rely on Wolves taking anything off Man City because horrendous at the back Wolves are. But London Stadium, Mark Noble's last game, the last game of the season at home. I was involved in a West Ham team that stopped Man United winning on the last day of the season, so motivation will be there. Jurgen Klopp said after the game, keep believing. It's a blow, don't get me wrong. I was watching the game and I thought Liverpool were emotional, Dan. I think they got sucked in a little bit to Tottenham's style. Tottenham defensively were brilliant, but every time in the second half, I'm sitting watching the game going, don't foul, don't foul, don't foul. And every time they did, and the rhythm just couldn't get going. I thought they played well enough, but you've got to credit Tottenham, I think. I think they defensively away from home were really solid.
What struck me, Don, though, is when you got the equaliser with still, 15 minutes to go, I thought, right, here we go, Liverpool going to kick on now. But that didn't quite materialise.
Same, because they kept sucked into fouling the Tottenham players. It was almost, I thought they were a little bit desperate tonight. I thought they realised and they knew how big the occasion was. And they were almost desperate to get the win and desperate to get over the line. Thiago, I thought, was amazing. I thought he was the one player that got the ball down and played. And Diaz in the first half looked exceptional. But everyone else just looked a little bit rushed. Salah never really got into the game. He gives some little stray balls away. Defensively, he was marked out the game by numbers. But you're right, I think we're 15 to go. I think, right, Kop end, come on. Like, what have you got? Can you kick on? But Keita then came on and fouled Harry Kane. And it got infectious how many fouls they were giving away.
Pablo, how Manchester City feeling?
Obviously, it was two big points lost by Liverpool tonight, of course, and that gave Man City some advantage. But it's not going to be an easy game for Man City tomorrow against Newcastle, especially after hard defeat in the midweek. Hopefully, all the players are fully recovered from the game, physically and mentally, of course. So they will need to perform, good enough to beat Newcastle, because Newcastle also been good in the last few weeks. So as you all know, in the Premier League, they are not easy games. So, but hopefully they can get the 3 points tomorrow. That will give them a big chance for the end of the season.
Does Pablo know that Liverpool dropped points today?
I know. He's playing it down. It's the double bluff, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the double bluff. Oh, no. See, see what happens. We're going to play Newcastle. It's all right.
And can I just say that Liverpool were actually fortunate to draw this game, because in the end, the best chance fell to Hoiberg.
That's when he played it back across.
And why is he playing it back across? I have no idea. But if wide open, back post, put it on target with your head, and maybe you win the game. Instead, he tries to play it back to Harry Kane. They miss the opportunity. Game ends 1-1.
If I'm a Spurs fan, I'm sat here thinking, how can we go to Manchester City, win there? How can we push Liverpool all the way at Anfield? Why can't we do this every week?
Because of the makeup of your team.
What do you mean?
The makeup of your team is they are good players, but mentally they don't have it. That's why they can turn up in Man City away. They can turn up at Anfield. They can go to places like Old Trafford.
Right.
But when the onus is on them, they can't produce.
So it's what, easier? They find it easier when they're underdogs, or the expectation isn't there?
It's mentality. It's a mentality. It's dead easy to walk out in front of a crowd that's baying for your blood, and everything's got you get all... You get all fired up.
Right.
But you know what? You can tell the best players. And the best players, it's not about turning up in the big game all the time and scoring the winning goal. It's about going to a crappy little stadium where there's nobody there, where three people and their dog, there's no grass on the field, there's puddles everywhere.
That's the old days. Premier League, you don't go anywhere.
I'm exaggerating to prove the point.
Yep.
That's when your real players, proper players, will still perform the way they perform, whether it's a cup final, a nothing game, whatever it may be. And Tottenham's players mentally can't do that. That's why they can go to certain places and everybody's getting a well done, Tottenham, well done, lads. And yes, it looks good for the future. Well, unless they change a lot of the squad, then the future isn't going to change.
Don, do you agree?
Just to let you know, if there was no grass on the pitch, three men there and a dog, I would have been absolutely terrible. So I must fall into the Tottenham category where I got up for the big games. I know what Stevie's trying to say, because they're not consistent. And it's easier when you go to Man City, because there's no pressure on you. And you think, well, if we get walloped 2, 3, 4, whatever it might be, we know we're not in City's class. So you've got a little bit of a, and I hate the term free hit, but it's sort of that way. Same when you go to Anfield. No one really expected Tottenham to win tonight. When they got the goal, all of a sudden you thought, wow, like they're going to do it again. And then Liverpool got back into the game, and then they couldn't react. So it's easier when the pressure's not on you.
Meanwhile, Pablo, pressure, of course, now Manchester City, as you mentioned, against Newcastle. How much does what happened against Real Madrid affect them going into this game?
Well, that's something that Pep surely been working on with the players, for sure, because even if it was a hard defeat, you know, against Real Madrid, one of those is really hard to take. But the Premier League is one of those competitions that, as a football player, you always want to win it. And Man City have the chance to do it next this season again. So, obviously, you know, during last week, I'm sure that Pep been just talking to the players, trying to motivate them, you know, lift the spirit, of course, of the whole group. I'm saying, listen, guys, we just need to win the Premier League now. That's something, you know, that's for everybody will be really good, because it's the whole work of the whole season. They've been consistent. They've been good with Liverpool, probably up there to the best teams in the Premier League by far. And now is the only competition that they probably have the chance to win it. So, but mentally, they need to go into that game, you know, 100%, because that is all you need, you know, to beat a team like Newcastle.
It is this result that I think turns the attention of Manchester City players back onto the Premier
right.
League. If you're feeling down and out and you're feeling, oh, my goodness, how could it be that we got eliminated in the manner in which we did? you see this, and this is something positive for you. Now you get engaged again. You say, okay, here we go. This is what we need to do. Task at hand. Focus Newcastle. Get the result and move on with our lives.
I haven't seen the extra sign questions, Don, so I'll ask you just in case, even though I'm sure that many people already have. Percentage chance that Manchester City win the title?
Well, I sort of knew it was coming, but in a week where percentages mean absolutely zilch, because as you know, in the 89th minute, Real Madrid had a 1% chance of going through.
Yes.
And they went through. So percentages this week mean absolutely nothing, but I'll give you it anyway. 10% of Liverpool doing the quadruple.
What? Not the quadruple?
What?
I don't care about the quadruple.
What?
I didn't ask about that.
What are you asking then?
Just the Premier League. What were you talking about last 10 minutes?
Oh, well, I just went generic, because I just knew it was coming.
I went all in.
I went all in on the quadruple, so... Lord knows. 8%. That's all I can give you.
What? Did you say 8? It can't be 8% for them to win the Premier League and 10% to win the quadruple.
No, they'll beat Chelsea. They'll beat Chelsea and beat Real Madrid. I'm confident.
No, but that means they don't do the quadruple because of the Premier League that you've just given 8%
for. What are you asking me? What are you asking me? Quadruple or the Premier League?
The Premier League!
They've got a better chance of doing the quadruple than
they do the Premier League. That's it. That's it. It's gone. All-time low.
The Premier League gone.
Oh, I don't know, Dan. 8%, that's all I'm giving you off the top of my head. I'm too invested in the game.
It's all right. It's okay.
We're stressed. He just told us that they have a lower percentage chance to win the Premier League than to win the quadruple.
Yes. Yeah. There we go.
Come on, Don.
That is it. I think we say we thank
I'm stressed, Ali. I'm stressed.
We say thank you very much to Pablo as we focus on what else happened in the Premier League today. Chelsea look like they're in complete control. Lukaku given a rare start and would score from the penalty spot, and then a lovely finish just moments later to give them a 2-0 lead. Trincão with a beautiful goal to make it 2-1. And then Connor Cody scoring in the 97th minute as it finishes 2-2.
Yeah, it would have been a travesty if Wolves had got nothing out of this game. Let me put it that way. Chelsea were horrible.
Oh, wow. Mm. Chelsea 2, Wolves 2 then is how it finished. Don, you mentioned before, of course, you commentated this game. Were Chelsea horrible?
They were horrible in the first half an hour because they played the game like a testimonial. They were slow. There's no intensity about them. Then they got a lift. Lukaku only had 9 touches in the first half. Second half, he was so much better. He was screaming for the ball in at his feet. And second half, he played like the Lukaku of Inter Milan, where he was turning people, he was rolling defenders. He got the penalty. The ball from Pulisic was perfect for his second goal. But then they just sort of collapsed the last 15 minutes of the game. Wolves deserved something out of the game, but they were just slow. Thomas Tuchel will be watching that performance. And apart from, I think, Romelu Lukaku, no one's really come to the forefront of his mind to try and get picked for the FA Cup final. Apart from Lukaku, they were all very, very average.
Why doesn't Lukaku do this more?
Why doesn't
Tuchel give him the opportunity to do this more?
Do you know, I think what we're seeing from Lukaku is he's just a guy who has talent, but who relies too much on confidence. And when he's not getting any confidence, he's a disaster. I mean, the way he took that second goal was all about the fact that he just scored 5-10 minutes earlier. Mm-hmm. Because it was smooth, it was controlled, it was calculated, it was his right peg. I mean, it was a beautiful goal. It was a world-class goal. So this is a guy that, no question, is all about if he's confident, he'll do this. And if he's not quite as confident as normal, then he'll stand on it, or he'll miss the chance, or he'll not have his composure. So, you know, you don't know what you're getting.
And what happens as well with Lukaku is that when he's not confident, not only does it affect the fact that he's not scoring goals, but it affects every part of his game. Everything goes downhill. It's not something that he can hang on to and say, okay, at the very least, let me give you a work rate. At the very least, let me give you holding the ball up. I'm going to be the strong guy, the focal point, give it to me, and I lay it off to other guys, and perhaps I'm going to run myself into a goal. What you saw from that second goal that you just mentioned there, Stevie, was a guy who was reacting, who wasn't overthinking things. Just allow the natural talent to take over. Turn, hit, goal, let's go celebrate. What's frustrating is to see that, how natural it looked, and then how difficult it has looked for the length of the season.
I'll tell you what, if you're Chelsea though, if you're Tuchel, he must be worried sick, because that back three was an absolute joke today.
Right.
Wolves, in my opinion, could have and should have been 3-0 up at half-time. Every single time they went forward, they looked dangerous.
Chelsea should be fine, though, still to qualify for the Champions League. With three games to go for them, they are 5 points clear of Spurs. Arsenal, with a victory against Leeds, though, on Sunday, would close the gap to just 1 point. Does it make any difference if they finish third or fourth, Don?
Who, Chelsea?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they want to... You've always got bragging rights. You want to be closer to Man City and Liverpool, but you want to be the best team in London. I think you want to finish the season strongly. I think Thomas Tuchel, with the new owners taking over, can be optimistic that they're obviously going to lose some players. There's rumours of Azpilicueta going to Barcelona and Rudiger going to Real Madrid and Christensen on the move as well. But when new finance come into the club, if you finish the season strong, you finish third, it can give you a little bit of optimism going into the summer. For fans, it's massively important. And as I said before, you've got the bragging rights of being the best team in London.
Let's get more on Chelsea and their new ownership now, shall we, as we welcome Gab Marcotti into the show. Gab, I suppose the big question that Chelsea fans want answered is, are they going to spend money?
Well, first of all, let me back you up there. We don't know that the new owners are the new owners, in the sense that the group led by Todd Boehly and Hans-Jörg Wiss, they've reached an agreement with the Rain Group that was representing Roman Abramovich in the sale, but we're still waiting for the Premier League approval, which they should sail through, and we're still waiting for the government license. And what we don't know is some of the implications of how some of those monies might get paid, where that money will go, and what the terms of that will be. But let's assume it does go through, because I know that's your question. So what we know about the group is that they've pledged to invest, you know, nearly $2 billion over some period of time. We think it's 10 years, very similar to the Jim Ratcliffe bid into the club. A lot of that will be for the stadium. But I think we also know, and realistically, these guys are businessmen, and they'll be looking for a return, and it can be a long-term return, but we're not going to see anything like the early years of Roman Abramovich, when they were racking up massive losses and building a super club.
Oh. Meanwhile, Manchester United,
uh-oh,
they lost 4-0
wow,
against Brighton today. They will finish this season with the fewest points in the history of the Premier League. They've conceded more goals this season than they have in the history of the competition. 3 losses by 4-plus goals in the Premier League season. And this is Brighton's first win by this margin ever in the Premier League history. And the sad thing is, if you're Manchester United, Stevie, this isn't particularly a surprise, is it?
No, it's not. Oh, what was the score? 4-0. Wow. Right. Who else played today?
I know, that's it.
It really is not a surprise.
Yeah. Don?
The only thing that flattered them is, you know, it could have been 6 or 7. I mean, they were way off it. It was men against boys. They didn't do the basics. They didn't get touch tight. They didn't put effort in. Whenever you think Man U's hit an all-time low, they surprise you every single week with another low. And before the game, after the win against Brentford, you think, right, they can try and salvage something and try and, you know, finish the season with a little bit of momentum. And then Brighton come along and they beat them 4. And 4 going on 7 or 8 is rather embarrassing.
The worst thing that you can say about a professional player at any level, in any league, is he quit. He gave up. He's disinterested. He doesn't care. That is exactly what you can say about Manchester United, and say it comfortably.
Right.
Not you're not taking a leap of faith here in saying that. You're not going out on a limb. You just watch the performances. You watch the evidence in front of you, and you're seeing a team that today against Brighton said, we don't care.
Mm.
We don't care. And to do that as a professional player is embarrassing on so many levels.
There, of course, is going to be a massive overhaul for Manchester United over the summer. And already there are transfer rumours linking Paul Pogba to a short move across the city to go and play for Manchester City. Gab, has this got any legs?
Well, he's out of contract. He already has a house in Manchester. Yeah. Why not? You know, you could look at it that way. The early versions of the reports talked about how he'd be a replacement for Fernandinho, which you don't fully get because they seem to me slightly different players, or actually very different players to me. But you could imagine certainly Manchester City wanting to add, you know, to the depth of that central midfield, because obviously Kevin De Bruyne pushing 30, Bernardo Silva on his way, Gundogan not getting, you know, a year older as well. So you could see the argument there fitting into that. Equally though, reports elsewhere keep, you know, talking about a return to Juventus and whatnot. If you're Paul Pogba, you know, you're a free man come July 1st. So I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to want to kick the tires, see what his mindset is. I think Pep Guardiola would really play a really big part, I think, in the appeal of Manchester City. Whether Pep feels that way about Paul as well, that's TBD.
If you're City, how hard would you push for this, Don?
I would, if I was Pep. I think you can get a tune out of Paul Pogba when he's at it. I think you'd want to look in his eyes. I think you'd want to see the desire. You want to see if he's fully on board. You wouldn't sign the Paul Pogba of the last couple of seasons. That's not enough for Pep, and it's not enough for Man City. But there's a player in there. I was talking to one or two ex-Man United boys today, and they think the story has got a little bit of legs. Where's he going to go? I don't think Juve could probably afford what he wants. PSG, maybe. That could be an option. But I think it would suit Paul Pogba in terms of his motivation going to Man City and then producing performances that we all know he's capable of, because on his day he's unplayable. And wouldn't that just be a body blow for Man United, who invested so much time and money in him over the years, for then him to go to Man City and start producing?
I don't think Pep's got time for players that may or may not be at it. Pep's players are always at it.
Right.
Pogba is not always at it. So that doesn't fit. And if I'm Pitt, are you going to trust a guy like Paul
Pogba? But is he only not at it because of the environment that he was in at United?
How long has he been at United? 5 years.
Mm.
Can you remember, other than one game against Manchester City, when you're turning around and thinking to yourself, what a player this guy is in the Premier League? No. What sort of recommendation is that to take a player? Especially on the money that he'll want. It doesn't fit for me, and I wouldn't touch Paul Pogba right now if I'm Manchester City. Nowhere.
Gab, we're talking about money. Is it big, big money that really eliminates most of those in the running?
You know what? At this stage of his career, he's made a lot of money. Obviously, he's going to want to be on big money. But, you know, the reality is the package that he was on at United, I think, realistically, if it were to be to go to a move back to Juventus or a move to Manchester City, I think his people would need to be realistic about where he is right now and what the market is. Because if you're talking about paying somebody close to 300 grand a week in pounds, there's very few teams who can afford that. So I don't know that the money would come into it. Certainly, if you're City, and also, let's not forget, Pogba, whatever might have happened, however some United fans feel about him, he was in United's academy many, many years ago, and he chose to go back there. So I think he does have some attachment and would be very aware of that. I think the money aspect, I think, is secondary for him at this stage. By the same token, there's so much uncertainty out there. You know, Don mentioned Paris Saint-Germain. We don't know who their manager is going to be next year. We don't know if Leonardo's back next year. I certainly wouldn't bet on him coming back. So I think stories like this are an early marker of what could happen. I don't think they come from the City side. I think if you're City, you don't want this distraction when you're in the middle of a title race. There's time to go and talk about this later if it really is a possibility. So being cynical, I suspect this has probably come from somewhere near his camp. Maybe somebody put up a flyer. But, you know, the reality is, if you're Paul Pogba, there aren't that many destinations unless you're willing to take a serious pay cut.
Gab will be back with us for extra time, as will Don, and his percentages. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The big story in La Liga, Barcelona beating Real Betis by 2-1. A brilliant late strike from Jordi Alba, giving them all 3 points and guaranteeing them Champions League football next season. For more on this, let's welcome in Pablo Zabaleta. Pablo, of course, the significance of this was at one stage this season, we genuinely questioned whether or not Barca would finish in the top four.
Yes, that is a big news for Barcelona, of course. They all should be happy about it. That was something, or probably that was the main target for Xavi when he first came to the club to play Champions League next season. And also, as we spoke before the game, how important that would be for the club to bring top players in. To obviously have generate more income to the club, especially now in this situation that they are in. So that's good. It was a good performance overall from Barcelona. Betis away from home, always a difficult place to go, but it chopped down for them 3 points. And Champions League for Barcelona next season.
And in that sense, mission accomplished for Xavi. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things that Xavi wanted to do when he took over. And first and foremost was finish top four. He knew that the title was never in contention. He knew that that wasn't realistic. So, yes, top four. And then stay true to the identity of Barcelona. And I think he's been able to do that. Now, there's been moments in which this team has struggled. And it is well documented that even under Xavi, there have been moments in which Barcelona has been underwhelming. However, this is also a team that has gone to Betis and won, that has gone to Real Madrid and won, that has gone to Real Sociedad and won. So there are signs of growth. Whether this team can withstand and maintain that level of performance and improve upon that level of performance as we go into next season, that will be the next question. First question has been answered, and that is top four. Second question, staying true to the identity of Barcelona, job done. Now evolution, growth, continuity, consistency. Those are the things that Xavi and this team have to focus on to next season.
Stevie, when that ball came in from Dani Alves, you went goal even before anybody was anywhere near it.
Well, there was three of them.
Yeah.
And they made the right decision to let it go onto that left peg of Jordi Alba. And it's not the first time he scored a goal like this. Mm. So as soon as I saw him lining up, I'm thinking, I can only see one thing happening here. This is going in the back of the net. But I've got to tell you, I didn't think it was going to be as sweet and as easy as that. I mean, he made that look so easy. What a powerful strike. Goalkeeper, absolutely. You could have stuck two or three goalies in and they wouldn't have stopped that. That's how good it was.
A good result then for Barcelona. Good result as well for Atletico Madrid, who are slightly concerned, obviously, of Real Betis catching them in fourth place. Atleti in action tomorrow in the Madrid derby, the match which is live on ESPN+. Atleti taking on Real Madrid live at 2:30 Eastern.
And coming in now is Riyad Mahrez! What a fantastic finish! And it's a try and stride towards Paris. It's Imaru hooks it in, the goal on back! It's Rodrigo! There is life in Real Madrid! Side puts the ball in. What are we seeing tonight? The
love Macca's, when the penalty was about to be awarded, because I think that's what everybody was thinking at that time. Of course, an extraordinary night at the Santiago Bernabeu. Have you recovered yet, Pablo, from it?
No. No way. Very difficult one to take, that defeat. I mean, you know, Real Madrid did it again. Incredible. But listen, you cannot blame anybody at Man City. They did almost the perfect game. It's just something that is so difficult to analyze, that Real Madrid team, because, you know, they did it against PSG, against Chelsea, and against City. So it was a shame, you know, Courtois was key, you know, when he made that save against Grealish. But that's all you need against Real Madrid. You need the perfect game, because they have players who can score goals in 2-3 minutes. They have the personality to do that. The class, they are really good. So it was really difficult night for me, believe me, because you could really see Pep. Pep was, you know, dead after that defeat, even the players, and they put so much effort. In both games, Man City probably were the best team, but against this Real Madrid team was not enough. You know, they probably needed to defend better. In Rodrigo's goal, you know, they had a ball between Laporte and Ruben Diaz for the guy that is not very tall. That is a Champions League, you know. It's not even a mistake, it's just probably, you know, concentration of last cross of the game, you know, looking everyone around to defend the ball. But listen, credit to Real Madrid, because they did it again. But it was a shame that Man City lost again a big chance to reach the Champions League final.
Where did you watch it, Pablo?
At home. I was at home because I wanted to go to the Bernabeu, but I was in Villarreal because I'm doing my coaching course, so I needed to do something at Villarreal. But then I came back and I watched the game from my sofa from home. So
did you wake the kids up?
No. My oldest boy wanted to watch the game, but he was full asleep at the second half. It was really tough because, listen, as an ex-Man City player, it's probably one of those competitions that at some point I would like to see the club winning. Domestically, the club been really successful, dominating the English football for probably the last 9-10 years. The club just keeps spending money to give Pep the chance to have a really strong squad and you can really see that they've been playing a really good football, but that is the Champions League, and especially against Real Madrid, you never know. I've been at the Bernabeu doing the game against Espanyol. You could really see the fans when they were celebrating the title. They were already thinking about the Champions League game.
It's a bit like therapy, Pablo. Do you need a hug?
I think he does.
Yes, I need a hug. I'm alone. I don't have my wife. I don't have my kids. I'm alone. Oh, I need someone to come and give me a beer here. I wish probably watch with you at the studio, guys.
Gemma, you weren't alone, obviously, for the game. You were there right in the middle of it. I imagine of all your years reporting on soccer, that's got to be up there as one of the most memorable.
Yes, definitely. Because, you know, I've been so many games at the Bernabeu in Champions League. I've seen this movie 1,000 of times, but never like this. Imagine, as example, I was in the fourth floor of the Bernabeu commentating the game for ESPN LATAM. And I've seen that movie, but at minute 89, I had to go away downstairs to do the flash interviews. And it was impossible. It was impossible, even though it was Real Madrid. So there are no elevators because of the construction. So I start running downstairs. So first goal in the second floor, second goal in the flash interview. So I had to go up again. again, fourth floor running up again. And it's like, how could this happen to me? That I've seen this many times, but it was absolutely unbelievable. The Bernabeu, just 5 minutes before the first goal, they were kind of not believing it anymore. It was like, this is too hard. I mean, it's minute 89. It's nothing is happening. It's impossible. We scored two goals now. Well, they did again. And once they score, they do go to extra time, you know they will do it because they have goal. They have this power in their own stadium. Ancelotti knows how to turn them on. He puts up that video of the rest of the comebacks. Now there's one left, and they did it again. They are the best doing that.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
To Alves, three coming in at the far post. Oh! Into the net, a sensational last minute winner.
So what that means is that Barcelona are guaranteed Champions League football next season. Gemma Select caught up with Eric Garcia after the game.
With Eric Garcia, what a game, what an end, but you managed to get your goal, the 3 points and a Champions League spot.
Yes, we came here with one objective, win the game to be in the Champions League next season. That's the first step. Now we have another one who's been second in the league. I think we are on the right way, especially now after the game against Cádiz and Rayo, where it was tough for us to not get the win. But I think last game against Mallorca today, we've shown a lot of character, and I think we deserve this win.
Maybe the only bad thing to talk about it is that, like in Mallorca, it was difficult for you to close the game and you end up suffering. You score a goal with Ansu Fati and then 2 minutes later you concede a goal. What happened there, you think?
Well, I think they prepared really well the set pieces in the first half. They had a clear chance also right at the end. It's something we need to work on it, because I think in the last, against Mallorca we conceded from a set piece today as well. I think is the last step we need to do. The team has grown in many aspects, also the mentality. We fought until the end today, but we know that in set pieces we need to be better and stronger, yeah.
What about Ansu Fati? You train with him every day. The second ball he touches after this long injury, he managed to get that goal.
Well, Ansu is one of those players that was born with this quality, with talent. He's a really important player for us. Hopefully he can stay fit, because he showed today how much can he help us, and he's really important for us.
And last one, what about the Jordi Alba goal? That amazing kick for a defender is quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, amazing. We all know Jordi has, I would say, too much quality to play left back. He's a really important player for us. He has a fantastic season, and what a better way to be in the Champions League next season than with a goal from him, yeah.
Congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
La Liga action then continues tomorrow, live here on ESPN Plus, and the big game, no doubt about it, in the Spanish capital, Atletico Madrid against Real Madrid. Coverage starts at 2:30 Eastern.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Final day of the regular season in the Championship, and Luton Town work their way into the playoffs. A big win for them, meaning they will face Huddersfield Town. Meanwhile, the other playoff, it will be Forest against Sheffield United. Meanwhile, elsewhere, Nantes are the Coupe de France winners. Porto guaranteed the Portugal League Championship with a win against Benfica. And Schalke are back into the top tier in Germany.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Meanwhile, Burnley lost at home against Aston Villa. They got some momentum going, didn't they, towards the end of the season here. However, a disappointing result for them, which opens the door for both Leeds and Everton to go above them and get out of the relegation zone. They are in action tomorrow. Leeds away against Arsenal. Also, Everton away against Leicester City. Elsewhere, it's Norwich against West Ham. And Manchester City take on Newcastle. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow to reflect on those games. Be sure to join us here on ESPN Plus. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. God, we've been everywhere. Don is back, as is Gab, Ali and Stevie as well with us to answer your questions on Extra Time, which I believe I'm correct in saying is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much.
Do you need a question?
Yeah, you can get the questions, Ali. That's very kind of you. Thank you very much. Stevie Nicol is with us.
Change your pace.
Have you cheered up a little bit?
Nope.
Okay. This is your track he fell in for him going for the question.
Well, I'm just asking how you are.
He's trying to fill in, like, give it a go. Let me chat. How are you feeling after you just dropped up?
Don is with us as well. Don, I feel there was a little edge to you during the show today. What's up?
No, I just had a long day. Don't know if you're aware of the Bristol Rovers story, but it was absolutely crazy. They had to win by 7 goals today to go up, and they won by 7 goals.
Yeah, it's pathetic. I don't like that. Not your story, but so you're beating a team that's got nothing to play for by 7 goals, and that guarantees you promotion. Why they don't have head-to-head, I have no idea, because really, what's the point?
Look how upset you.
No, it's one of those things that I never quite understand. And I understand it's a big story, you need to score 7, you did, but you're scoring against a team that's got nothing to play for.
It's not their fault. It's not their fault.
Whose fault?
Bristol's.
No, I understand that. It's the rules I don't like.
Oh.
Do you have an opinion?
Well, I think you should write a letter to the English Football Association.
Well, I write to them every day.
There you go.
And they don't answer. Do you agree? Disagree? Do you care?
I absolutely 100% agree with you.
Ah.
Should be head-to-head.
Yeah, makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
When Arsenal beat you in 89, that was a weird one, wasn't it?
Goal difference.
That was goal difference, yeah.
Dan, I think we should focus more on the fact that Stevie is the one who's angry. You don't need to get
worked up. No, I'm not angry. I'm just intrigued.
Do I look like that? does my face look like that when he turned there?
Should we tell the people how you were watching the game with us
and what
may have happened while you were a little upset?
Spurs are on the break. Konate kind of puts it out.
Uh-huh.
And next thing we know, Stevie's on the floor.
Yes.
He's fallen off his chair backwards. Yes.
No, I'll tell you what happened, actually. It was when he headed it.
Right.
So Reece played a long ball.
Yes.
There's nobody within 25 yards of Konate.
Yeah.
Someone thinking, right, either bring it down or let it go. And he just heads it back to them.
So how did that make you fall out?
Well, so it went like that because I was angry.
Yes. Yeah.
And it went like that, and I thought it was one of those chairs like this one where you can just lean back a little.
Right.
But it wasn't. So I just went the whole way back. I finished. Unfortunately, it fell on my right side.
I know.
Because your left shoulder.
Because my left shoulder was my last fall a few weeks ago.
And how are you, Gab? Have you had a long day? Are you stressed like Don?
I am not stressed like Don. I've been enjoying the relegation last minute drama, twists and turns. All's good.
Oh, good.
But I agree with you on that. And then this thing with goal difference is stupid. It's a really horrendous tiebreaker. I don't even like head to head. If you finish level on points, one game playoffs. At least to decide stuff like promotion and titles and stuff like that. Mm. That would be my choice.
Well, there we are. It's all pen and letter.
Okay.
First question. Oh, we've kind of covered it. How is Stevie?
Fine.
Yes?
Yeah.
Are you okay or are you in denial?
How?
No, but when you do the show, it takes your mind off it. Until somebody reminds you.
How un-Disney was Stevie's language during the game?
Yeah, it's not approved. It was very colorful, flavorful, so much variety. But then there are certain phrases that he goes back to.
Yes, yes.
Quite often.
Yeah, none of which.
I prefer to watch it on my own.
Yeah. I don't say anything to you when watching games because I know anything anybody says winds you up. But what's interesting is that Eleanor still hasn't learnt that after being married to you for how long?
Honestly, scary. Absolutely scary, isn't it?
But he's fine. He's fine.
You're the best.
You're good.
The best one is. Oh, it's only a game. It's only a game. Damn. What are you talking about?
What?
Stevie, did you try the different seat one? Did you go to the different seats? Because I was at BT and I was changing my seats every 10 minutes thinking that'll be the difference.
No, oh, really, Don?
I'm the way, Don. I do stupid things like that on occasion. Actually, you know the other one that Eleanor that annoys me?
Right.
She goes too far the other way and tries to be really nice.
In what way?
Well, because she knows I'll be mad because of the result.
Oh, yeah?
So she's like all over you, like all dead nice, and I'm like...
Oh, poor you, Stevie.
It's weird how that happens.
Stop being nice to me.
Let's just close the story of you falling over. What you did to make sure that you prevented another fall was that you put your chair all the way to the back wall.
Yes.
Therefore, if you push yourself back, the chair wasn't going to go back.
Yes. Okay. That's good.
Exactly.
Good preparation.
Mr. Don. Who calls you Mr. Don?
Wow.
Don. After watching today's Liverpool against Tottenham game, which ended 1-1, Stevie, does your percentage change on Real Madrid versus Liverpool?
No. I don't know. No, I think that's going to be an amazing final. I don't know. My head's blown, Dan.
During the show, you made a little bit of a fool of yourself because you said that Liverpool have a 10% chance of doing the quadruple and an 8% chance of winning the Premier League.
Yeah, I realised the error of my ways. I didn't listen to the question properly. I went all in on the quadruple because I anticipated your question.
Right.
But I got it wrong.
It does look a little fatigued, by the way.
It does.
Has it got anything to do with a baby?
New baby, long day.
Is that what it is as well? That'll probably not help.
Well, there's a lot going on, Stevie. There's a lot going on this month.
No, listen, hey.
Oh, dear.
Wow. It happens.
It happens. Gab, Son has been better than Salah this season, but no one is ready to get into that conversation.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite go so far as say he's been better than Salah. I think there's a bit of a recency bias in that question. But he has the second highest scoring contributions, if that's your thing, in the Premier League. As everybody knows by now, he scored more goals from open play than Salah in the Premier League. And, you know, and he did it in the first 3 months, Harry Kane, who was obviously clearly out of sorts. So, tremendous season from Hongmin Son. Over the course of the year, I think putting him ahead of Mo Salah is slightly over the top when you look at the entire body of work.
Does Lukaku deserve to start the FA Cup final, which of course next week, live here on ESPN Plus if you're in the States, with his performance today?
He won't start. Havertz will start. No question.
Does he deserve to start?
Because he scored the penalty and a goal today.
Nice goal though, wasn't it, that second one?
The second one, yes, was an excellent goal.
Yes.
But no, is that? No. I think he only played today because he was resting Havertz. So
Oh. Gav, what do you think?
And Mount. He was dressed in Mount as well.
Right.
Which is probably why Pulisic played.
Oh, no.
So Havertz and Mount will both start.
Upset everyone.
The cup final.
Right.
Along with probably Mr. Timo Werner.
But Chelsea have got a game midweek as well, haven't they? So why don't you rest them for that one and play him in this one?
But I mean, rest them for that one as well.
Oh, rest. Lots of rest.
I'm just telling you what's going to happen in the cup final. It's going to be Havertz.
Gav, do you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, look, I've been an advocate of him playing a lot of Lukaku between now and the end of the season to try to get Lukaku out of his funk, to try to figure out what to do with Lukaku going forward. I would like to see at some point. I don't think it's unthinkable to have Lukaku and Havertz together. Havertz is still young. We don't quite know if he's going to be a center forward long term just because he's been playing there. To me, the question is, you know, should it be if you want Havertz to start, fine. But you know, why can't it be Lukaku and Havertz? Or is the question? The question would you take Lukaku over Timo Werner or Hakim Ziyech or Christian Pulisic or one of those guys? You know, why can't it be both?
Gab, Ronaldo will miss out on the Champions League for the first time in 20 years. This if he stays at United next season. Is he switching clubs this summer?
It's the big caveat, right? If he stays at United next season, we simply don't know. Look, I think at this stage, it's entirely down to him, right? United, and I'm being Captain Obvious here, are going to go into major rebuild mode. His salary alone is a big chunk. I think it's in excess of a quarter of United's wage bill. And if you're going to be rebuilding anyway and not competing, you might as well not have a 37-year-old striker. Equally, he's got a contract, and if he wants to stay, you know that he's going to stay, and you know that he's going to contribute. But I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out and says, you know what, maybe I want to have a go somewhere else. And at that point, I'm pretty sure the club will accommodate him any way they can.
Ali, if Mbappe does not go to Madrid, and Florentino Perez asks you, what position needs strengthening, what positions do you point to?
It's a part of me that would focus on that midfield, but the answer that Ancelotti has given is that he already has those players available to him in Valverde and Camavinga. Perhaps that's the case, perhaps it isn't. Left back is a position of concern, right back is a position of concern, and I would also be in the market for a center back, if at all possible.
So Rudiger probably was going to go.
Well, but that wouldn't be my main focus. I would concentrate on spreading whatever it is that I'm going to spend on Mbappe on covering those three positions.
Yeah, spread it around.
Diversify the portfolio. That's all I'm saying.
How far are you from your home, Dom? When can you go to bed?
20 minutes.
Oh, that's all right. That's okay. And then you up early tomorrow?
I'm on Arsenal Leeds tomorrow, so spare room for me tonight.
Oh, get in there. Love the spare room, it's brilliant.
Well, is it really?
Oh, you get to bed to yourself.
Yes, no, Ali.
No problem.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, good times.
There's usually tension when there's a spare room involved.
Dom, if Everton end up going down, where would you like to see Richarlison play next season?
Where would I like to see him? Being a Newcastle fan? Newcastle?
Oh.
Yeah, I'd like to see Connor Cody, who I commentated on today at Newcastle.
All right.
He's just a bit inconsistent, Richarlison. I think he's got ideas above his station. I think he thinks he's better than he is sometimes. But what I would say is in the last few weeks when Everton have been struggling, he's been the main man that stepped up. So he has got it. He's an amazing talent. Just needs to do it more often.
That is it. Eleanor's on the phone.
Oh.
I was trying to be extra nice and made Stevie a shepherd's pie. That's in the bin now.
Oh. What?
Throw it in the trash, Stevie.
There's a freezer full
spare
of
room,
some...
Spare room, Stevie.
Spare room.
There's a freezer full of mints and there's a spare room. Hey, that'll do.
We're off to the spare room tonight. Yeah. We will be back tomorrow, though,
what?
For more. Be sure to join us and we'll be looking at some of those big games from across Europe.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at LectricEbikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LectricEbikes.com.